You're listening to episode 46 of SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. I'm your host, Jeff Cole, editor of Security InfoWatch, and this is our regular podcast series. We're back with Kevin Beaver after a bit of a hiatus. Kevin, how you doing?
Mighty fine, Jeff. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, we brought you on for one reason. Kevin is the principal president of Principal Logic, his consulting company. The founder of Security on Wheels, which is an IT education audio program, podcast, if you will. He's also on Twitter as Kevin Beaver, is that right?
That's correct.
So you can follow him there. Well, we brought Kevin on in the wake of this TSA document redaction fiasco. Apparently, weeks ago, actually earlier this year, as I understand it, back in the early spring, FedBizOps, a website devoted to business opportunities within the federal government, posted a document of TSA procedures that was improperly redacted. And as I understand it, this document basically had sensitive information about TSA operating procedures for screening. And the document was redacted in such a way that black boxes were drawn over the content of the file. Now, the way it was done was not done in a secure manner. A blog called The Wandering Airman found this. They and Cryptome.org unredacted, lifted the redactions and uncovered the actual content that was under there. You know, to be honest, when I've read the document now, it is, the TSA claims this was an outdated document. Well, that's
right.
Hard to believe. I mean, might be, might not be. It's, you know, it was posted this year, so.
Right.
I'm thinking it's probably current, but.
Well, if you look at the date on it, it's May of 2008. But the fact of the matter is, even if it's outdated, it still has procedures in there that I guarantee you haven't changed all that much. You can't just change a set of procedures that are this detailed in such a widespread usage that quickly.
Right. And the operating procedures were to be implemented as of June 30th. So this is pretty current stuff. So I mean, this is serious information. Let me just kind of, for our listeners, just some of the stuff that it's got in here is quite sensitive. It talks about how armed officers have to present credentials to get on planes. And from a perspective here, it gives pretty good details. If you want to figure out a way around it, this document had it, unfortunately. So
yeah, I tell you what, I mean, this is sort of the social engineer / terrorist dream document. You know, this tells you exactly what you need to do to make it through these security checkpoints.
Yeah. I joked in some writing before that this is probably, back in April, this was probably downloaded to every terror training camp around the world when they found it. And it was fortunately, an independent blogger found it. Who knows how long it would have been out there otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. It sort of gives you the warm fuzzies as an American citizen, doesn't it?
Well, I'm feeling really warm and fuzzy. Anyway, a lot of information in here. You know, some of it, I think, for those of us in the security industry, is kind of a snoozer. There's a lot of pretty boring stuff in here. How to calibrate, X-ray equipment, things like that I don't think are particularly insightful or particularly useful, but they were redacted. So, Kevin, of course, being a information security specialist, wanted to talk about redaction today in light of this and, really talk about, what are the issues, and also want to talk about just document tracking overall. It seemed to me, Kevin, that there are two issues here. One, that they improperly redacted it. And then the second, that they probably didn't know really well, where all these documents are available online on their official websites.
Right.
So, let's talk about that, maybe that latter part first. I mean, there have been technologies out there for a while that help you, track where your documents are. Are people really using those?
Not based on what I'm seeing. There are tools out there you can use to search the internet. You can use some of the advanced features of Google to search your own websites and web applications to uncover information that doesn't need to be available, and you can do it internally as well. There are some data classification tools and some of these tools, the newer tools, they call them personally identifiable information search tools. But yeah, the essence is the tools are out there, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of use, and this sort of creates the whole issue that we have with information security. It's that people don't know what they have, and they don't know where it's located. Sensitive information is just scattered everywhere. It's on web servers, it's on external hard drives, it's on their smartphones, it's on laptops that people take home with them. It's on server shares, workstations. I mean, it's everywhere, and nobody really knows exactly where it's at any given time. And that sort of leads to the other issue of the fact that once electronic information gets out there, there's no getting it back. You know, you can say, yeah, it's on a secured server share, and we know exactly who has access to it. But the reality is, once it gets out, once somebody copies it, once it's posted to a website, and it gets on these file sharing sites, and it gets cached in Google and all these search engines, there is absolutely no way to get all that stuff back.
No, I mean, this document's a perfect example. I mean, it's found on there. They immediately, once they're notified in this blog post, they take it down.
Right.
Good for them. Of course, it's already been up for over half a year.
Right.
You know, and then the issue is, by that point, plenty of people have downloaded it. You know, this is a well-read blog.
Yep.
It turns up on the Cryptome website, and who knows how many others. And I guarantee if we probably did a Google search, I'm sure there'd be at least a half dozen other locations where it's still actively hosted.
Oh, I'm sure if you did a Google search of this file, and especially if you could look in and see these file sharing sites, I bet it's out there in millions of places.
Yeah. And so once you've let something loose, you're not getting it back.
There's no getting it back.
So, well, I guess, I mean, let's think about redaction here. As I understand it, and this is still a little bit of speculation on my part because I have not been able to find a clear data point that says how it was posted originally.
Right.
But what I'm getting and what I'm reading from some of the early reports on this is that it was posted as a PDF, and that it was, you know, maybe use some really basic level, not true Adobe, redaction technology. Because Adobe does have redaction technology. I mean, that company has done a very good job of trying to advance, you know, document protection. Because
right.
The first thing they did was make document sharing really easy.
Sure.
So, in terms of that, Kevin, what is the current thinking on document redaction today?
Well, obviously, a lot of people in certain places are not thinking about it too much, but the reality is you can't rely on some basic redaction controls in Microsoft Word or Adobe Acrobat or anything like that. If you're going to redact something or if you're going to block it out and you want to make sure that it's gone for good, excuse me, then you've got to use some commercial-grade tools that do just that. They not only will redact the data, but they'll sort of get rid of all the metadata, all the, you know, the lingering stuff that's sitting in these Word documents, these PDF files, and whatnot that sticks around. It's sort of the there's a term called dirty documents, whereby you know you're going through and typing up a document and you're editing stuff, you're deleting things, you're moving things around. And whatnot. Well, in reality, it's kind of like a computer hard drive. That stuff is still in there a lot of times until you actually do something about it. Just like, you know, you can delete a file and it's not gone until you defragment your hard drive and maybe reformat and maybe wipe it a few times and whatnot. But these dirty documents are getting people into trouble. They're seeing some of the earlier versions of documents. They're seeing some unintended verbiage and things like that, and they're going back to the source, and you know, people are getting into trouble, and as in this situation, the stuff was supposedly redacted, and now we have a potential national security issue as a result of it.
So the metadata, and as I understand it, I mean, some of this is I'm most familiar with Microsoft Word, as probably most people are,
right,
where you can track changes. Is it related to that kind of functionality?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Metadata is basically data about data, and it keeps track of changes that were made. It keeps track of what was deleted, what was added, file opens and closes, and saves, and that kind of stuff. And you know, a lot of times that there's going to be sensitive information contained in that. This is sort of a little anecdotal story here. I have a habit of, every time I create a security assessment report, I have a habit of going through and searching and making sure that there is no sensitive information that doesn't need to be there. And in one particular situation, I did a search, and you know, Microsoft Word has some basic functionality to do this. I did a search, and all of a sudden, boom, up popped a bit of information. I thought, man, how did this get in there? And it was somehow in that document, it got stuck in the footer of the Microsoft Word document, and had I not searched for it, it would have been available as, you know, such metadata or non-retracted or redacted data, and it could have shown up and exposed. It wasn't a big deal, but it was certainly an issue I didn't want to share, but I'm glad I searched for it. So this is something that we all need to be aware of, that these documents, they've got a lot of information in them that you may not be intend to share with everyone.
Yeah, I guess one of the other issues that comes up, and it's been in the news a lot the last few days, has been the issue of categorizing sensitive data. President Obama has had a task force on that topic and trying to create, as they explain it, a single government-wide system for categorizing sensitive data about, you know, who should get access to it, who should know what. And it deals with a lot of this, you know sensitive or unclassified information, or the sensitive but unclassified information, which
right.
can be law enforcement sensitive, contract sensitive, could be, as Kevin just mentioned, vulnerability assessments were part of this as well. I mean, that's
right.
unclassified information, but it is still as sensitive. You know, as they go forward to try to do a single system, what would you warn that task force about in its terms of creating, you know, a classification system for documents?
I guess the reality is I would step back and say good luck with all that. The thing is, you know, we've been doing data classification, we've been doing role-based access controls surrounding sensitive information and that kind of stuff for a long, long time. It's one of the cornerstones, it's one of the original principles of information security, that you need to classify what you've got, and then you need to make sure that only those people that you intend to have access to it have access to it. And we use a lot of, you know, a lot of organizations use military-type classification, you know, classified, confidential, sensitive, internal use only, that kind of stuff. But the reality is most people haven't even thought about going down this path, much less started it. And even when they do, it's such a complex task, I don't know that it can ever realistically be done in big companies. I mean, it's such a big undertaking, and there's so many people involved. And sort of getting back to what I said earlier about sensitive information, people don't even know what sensitive information they have or where it's at. How could they possibly get started classifying it all? And it's a big deal, you know. That I think a lot of people have maybe started down this path regarding compliance, you know, maybe regarding HIPAA or Gramm-Leach-Bliley or the payment card industry data security standard, and gathering this healthcare information and classifying it, or gathering financial or credit card information and classifying it. That's somewhat easy, but when you look at all sensitive information, you know, sensitive information, oftentimes we just assume it's client information or patient information, but it's other internal procedures, it's intellectual property, it's, you know, sensitive business stuff too, and getting your arms around all that, it is so difficult and so time consuming. You know, President Obama can come up with his task force, and they can come up with some standards, but I just don't see it see anything like that making any sort of headway in the typical business, especially a larger business, because it's just so complex.
Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt that that an organization like TSA is probably equally complex.
Absolutely.
I mean, they are, you know, I mean, they're a government agency, but you know, so many thousands of people and different operations, you know, they may have a little bit of a leg up because they're really one business unit, if you will, not like so many businesses where there's so many separate competing interests inside the larger business, but
right.
They're still going to have a tough time. I think one of the other things that I've seen this last week is that there's been a one of the things that, of course, President Obama campaigned on was really, you know, public access to information. In a lot of ways, it's probably very, very good thing. Of course, it does bring up the issues of, again, of sensitive information and going back into our government potentially, you know, defense archives and making that information available. And I know there was talk of documents being released as documents that date back to World War II, as I understand, are still, you know, categorized and unavailable. And there's been a push to, you know, redact those documents and make them available, you know, to really, I think the issue is not that, you know, World War II is obviously long since settled, but the issue is that there's information potentially in some of these intelligence documents about procedures that are probably still in practice, you know, about techniques and how information is moved and shared and obtained that are still used that shouldn't really be, you know, in a lot of people's opinion, shared to the world. So the issue is trying to go back and redact those documents as well. Now, of course, old hard copy, maybe it's easy. Maybe you just take a big fat marker and scratch through it, and if you do enough copies and find all the copies, you've done it. But
the thing is, though, Jeff, with the complexity of these documents and all of the different types of data and just all the people that would have to be involved, can you imagine literally going through every single document and trying to determine what's sensitive, what needs to be redacted, what can be left in there? I mean, who's to say what can be left in? Who's to say what needs to be redacted? There's so many variables in this, and it's so complex. I just can't see that being a reasonable project. Maybe for the government, the federal government that has unlimited funds, but for a typical business, I just can't see that happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and of course, you know, that's the great thing about it. Maybe most businesses, they're not required to provide that information.
Right.
You know, your business's practices back in the 40s, you know, if Principal Logic had been around back then, you'd have thrown those documents away years ago. And
right, and I probably would have been retired years ago, too.
Yeah.
But absolutely, yeah. I mean, things have really changed. The Internet and just the growth of information has really changed things in the past few years.
Okay. So I guess, I mean, for our readers, the takeaway here is commercial redaction software. There's good stuff out there. Research it. Learn about it. Embrace it.
Right.
You are, you know.
That's the best thing to do. And at least start down the path of knowing what you've got and then knowing where it's located. It's a big task, and it's not going to be something you're going to do within a week or maybe even a year or two, but at least start down that path, and you can get the procedures in place and get the wheels rolling. You can eventually get your arms around sensitive information.
Well, Kevin, we're going to catch up in a couple weeks. You've got a new book coming out in 2010, right?
I sure do. It's actually the third edition of my book, Hacking for Dummies. It's sort of the three times is a charm edition of my book. I feel like I've finally gotten it right. It's been a long road, and I've done a lot of tweaking. But basically, it talks about how to test your own systems for security vulnerabilities and how to plug the holes before the bad guys exploit them.
Very good. Well, let's come back in a couple weeks, and maybe at that point, TSA. Will have solved all of its security problems, and Obama will have created a single system to implement categorization, proper categorization of all our documents, but I'm not holding my breath.
No, I don't think it'll happen.
Well, happy holidays to all our listeners, and we'll catch you in 2010. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.